Hello. Right, I'm just going to ask you to kind of finish up conversations and come and grab a seat. Well, good morning, everybody. For those who don't know me, my name's Liam, and I'm part of the team that has been gathering in Falmouth. And I honestly don't mind that you haven't cheered me as much as you have Helen. honestly. Sean, can we? It's okay. I don't know. It's so good to gather together as the people of God, as a church, and do exactly what we've just been doing: singing, praising God for everything He's done, hearing truth about Him, and hearing God speak to us. It's so good to do it. And I don't know what your expectation of this now is. We've kind of, you know, kids have gone out, there's been a bit of a break. I don't know what your expectation of this is. Because what we're going to do this morning and every Sunday, we're going to open the Bible, we're going to open the Word of God, and we don't call it the Word of God out of some sense of tradition. We call it that because we genuinely believe that this is the Word of God. And so as we open this together and look at it, we are going to hear the words of God for us. And this morning, I believe the Word of God for us, what God wants to say to us, is this: do not be anxious. Do not be anxious in anything. In everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's what I believe God wants to talk to us about this morning. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about peace. And I've used this picture because this is in Falmouth. This is about kind of a 5-minute walk from where I live. This is genuinely my favourite view in the entire earth. It might not look like much now, but this is, honestly, for me, this is the most peaceful place for me to go. I go here and I'm just filled with the sense of the peace of God. And so that's what that is there. And the words I just spoke from, the words I just said, are from Philippians chapter 4. If you've got a Bible, feel free to turn there. From Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Let's bring them up on the screen. Let's read those again. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." These verses start with this command. It says, "Do not be anxious." These are the author of Philippians. It's a guy called Paul. He writes this letter to Christians, to a church in Philippi. And he's actually writing this from a place where, in prison. He's been arrested. He's in prison. And he writes this letter, and it's so full of encouragement and building up for the church in Philippi. And he writes this, and these first few words are a direct kind of echo of Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 6. And Jesus says, "Do not be anxious." And Paul likewise here says, "Do not be anxious." Are you anxious this morning? Are you worried? Are you worrying? Are you concerned, overly concerned, caught up, wrestling with something? Are you anxious this morning? Because this verse says, "Don't be." And if you're anything like me, that's easier said than done. And we're going to be looking this morning at what these verses mean and how we can live free of anxiety, free of worry, and walk in the peace of God. And I just want to pray. Lord, we don't gather together like this to fill time. We don't do it out of routine when we don't want to. Lord, we believe that you're alive, that you've called us to be a people, and that you want us to grow and mature and become more like you, Jesus. And we want to be those people that are not anxious, are not spending all our time caught up in worry about situations, but who trust you, who have faith in you, and walk in the peace of God, having our hearts and our minds guarded in Christ Jesus. Lord, would you help us this morning? Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, come and be with us, speak to us, reveal yourself to us. Will we see you, Lord? Amen. Amen. So all I want to do is just kind of unpack these verses a little bit. And as I was kind of spending time in these verses, it struck me as almost like a bit of an equation. It sort of is this kind of like this and this equals this. And I want to kind of look at this, but I want to do it in reverse order. So I'm going to start at the end and work backwards. And do this by looking at a need that Paul identifies, and then two questions that come out of that. So the first thing I want to look at is the need. And the need that Paul identifies is that there is a need for our hearts and our minds to be guarded. There's a need that our hearts and our minds to be guarded. The reason why is because we're humans. And as human beings, we have a tendency in our hearts and our minds, in ourselves, to veer towards godlessness, veer towards rebellion of God, the rejection of God. We're going to look a little bit in a bit about why that is. But we have a tendency as humans to veer this way, drift away from God, put into auto kind of pilot cruise mode. We drift away from God, away from his rule and his reign. And so there's a need to be guarded. And the biblical understanding of heart is the center of who we are. It's the very seat of everything we are. It's the center of us, the center of all of our physical and spiritual life. It's the very center. It's the source, the spring of everything we are. It's the seat of it, the heart. And the mind is kind of the outflow. It's the thoughts that entertain us, the imagination that captivates us. It's the decisions we make, the plans we formulate. So it's like a source and an outflow that's captured in these verses. And Paul says there's a need for those to be guarded. Anxious hearts can feed anxious minds, and peaceful hearts can feed peaceful minds. And we need to be in a place where our hearts and our minds are guarded. And this word guard is actually quite an interesting word, because it would have conjured up a whole host of imagery for the Philippians for two main reasons. One being, Philippi as a town was a kind of a Roman garrison. It was like the Philippians would have been used to seeing Roman soldiers on guard, guarding them, guarding the town. They wouldn't have had to look very far before they saw a Roman soldier standing on guard. And the second reason is because, as I said, Paul has written this from a place of being in prison. Paul is being guarded by a prison cell and a prison guard. Paul is being guarded. And he says there is a need, just like that, for our hearts and our minds to be held captive, to be guarded, to be protected. And so the question then is, what guards our hearts and our minds? What do we need to guard our hearts and our minds? And the answer is not a Roman soldier. It's not a prison. It's not a prison guard. The answer is the peace of God. The peace of God will guard our heart and our minds. I just want to make a note here. We're about to talk about the peace of God, and I'm very aware that in these verses, the words that follow the peace of God is are which surpasses all understanding, which seems quite an odd way to want to talk about it. We want to understand what it's saying, and actually we can't. The truth is, we can't understand this. It surpasses all understanding. The peace of God, we cannot get our heads around it. Our earthly minds cannot figure out, cannot understand fully what the peace of God looks like. I hold Andrew Sampson as quite an intelligent man. I'm sure you'll all agree. Even Andrew Sampson cannot get his head around the peace of God. Am I right? Yes, I am right. Nevertheless, we want to spend some time looking at the peace of God. We want to spend some time looking at this. And in our kind of 21st century Britain, our understanding of peace is kind of quite complex. It can mean a whole host of different things depending on context and situation. And it's quite similar in the Bible. It can mean so many different things. The biblical understanding of peace, it can, of course, mean national peace. That's sort of, we're not at war, we're at peace. It can mean peace between two people. It can mean safety and security. But it can also mean a state that you're in, a state of a Christian, a believer, someone who's put their trust in Jesus, that they are assured of their salvation and they are content with their earthly lot, whatever that might look like. They're in a state of peace. And it also can refer to the state of a Christian, a believer in Jesus, after they die. They're in a state of peace. And I just want to spend a moment looking at, firstly, this state of peace. It's being in a state of peace. I'm sure it wouldn't be very hard for many of us to think about times in our own lives where we can kind of point at something and go, that is not really peaceful. There was conflict here. Or what about over this in my life? That's not marked by peace. And we look outside of ourselves and we see, you can just turn the news and you can see there's no peace there. There's no peace there. That's not peace. It's not hard to identify there's a peacelessness. The truth is that wasn't always the way. It wasn't always the case at the beginning of the creation of the earth. There was peace. The history story that the Bible portrays says at the beginning, God created everything. He created everything. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, the mountains, the sea, the fish, the crabs, all the animals, the hills, the trees, the fruits. And he created humans. He created it all and it was good. He made it. It was good. There was peace. There was peace on earth. There was peace between God and man. There was peace between man and man. And there was peace between man and creation, the created world, includes within ourselves. There was peace. And then what happens is that humans choose to rebel against God. They walked away from his rule and his reign. They rebelled. They rejected God. They wanted to be God themselves. And in that moment, peace was broken. Peace was broken. The peace between God and man was fragmented. Because God is holy. He's so other than. He's set apart. He is perfect. And man has walked away and rejected him. And there is a breakdown of the peace, the relationship. God cannot be in union with those who have rejected him. And there was a breakdown of peace between humans, between man and man. And very soon you find arguing and falling out and envy and murder enter into human race. And there's a breakdown of peace between humans and the created world. Suddenly there's hard work and there's labor and there's pain. And even within ourselves there's insecurity and vulnerability. There's peacelessness. And there's an overwhelming need to be rescued, to be saved from this. Because as humanity has gone on and grown, it has continued in this state of godlessness, of peacelessness. I'm not actually sure if that's a word, but it conveys a message. I'm going to carry on using it. Humanity has grown into this state. People are born into this state of godlessness and peacelessness, which is why, as humans, we have this tendency towards rejecting God. Because that's the state that we are in. This is what the Bible calls sin. It's the state that we're in. We need help. We need to be rescued. And that's exactly what we have been celebrating this morning. It's exactly what we've been singing about, what we've been hearing prayed out and kind of joyfully singing about Jesus. Jesus who came to this earth, that God would come to the earth as a man and live and perfectly model a man of peace. and as the only perfect human being who did not deserve to die would die on the cross. Would be crucified, hanging on the cross, and his blood would be shed. Blood shed. And this amazing truth that we said that the death of Jesus covers all of our rejection of God and our rebellion and our sin, the state we are in, covers it completely. The death of Jesus, he takes upon himself our rebellion. He takes upon himself our rejection of God. He takes it upon himself on the cross, and he takes it to the grave. And 3 days later, he rises again and he defeats death, he defeats sin. And we, as those who trust in him, as put our faith in Jesus and his death, are given the righteousness of God. We're made new creations. We're adopted. We're called into his family. That the blood of Jesus covers our iniquity, our shortcomings. The blood of Jesus deals with it all. That peacelessness can be done away with because of the death of Jesus. This is what the Bible talks about. It's part of what the Bible talks about is the grace of God. That it's the unmerited, unearned favor that God bestows on his people. He gives us the grace, not because it's anything that we have done, not because of anything that we have accomplished, but all to do with Jesus and the death that he died. It is finished. It is done. Everything is needed for our salvation, for our rescue, for our removal from the state of peacelessness into the state of peace. It's all because of him. It's the grace of God. It talks about redemption. We heard that word already. Helen talked about that redemption, that being bought back, that the blood of Jesus paid for us to be bought back, to be bought into the family of God. And so that's the grace of God. And the biblical understanding of the peace of God is the fruit of that gracious activity. It's the fruit of that. The basis of biblical peace, of the peace of God, the basis of that is reconciliation, being brought back together with God. Through the death of Jesus, being brought back together with God, having a relationship restored with him. And so actually, we can only know the peace of God. We can only experience and enjoy the peace of God if we have received the grace of God. And perhaps you're here and you feel anxiety. You feel the anxiousness. And it's not based on situation. It's kind of deeper than situational worry. It's a deep-seated in your heart worry and anxiety and conflict. And you are desperate to know the peace of God. You're desperate to know peace. If you don't know that. And the wonderful truth that we've been hearing and celebrating this morning is that you can know that. You can experience that. You can enjoy God's peace, but only in and through Jesus. Peace, the peace of God follows directly from peace with God through Jesus, who made that peace through his blood. You just pause there a second and dwell on that. The peace of God follows from peace with God through Jesus, who made that peace through his blood. Isn't that incredible? Jesus, I want to thank you for your death, for your blood. I want to thank you for the blood that you shed, Lord. That made peace with God possible. That there is no longer conflict between God and man because of the blood of Jesus. And for those of us who trust you, who are at peace with God, we can enjoy being in a state of peace, having the peace of God in our lives. Lord, I'm so thankful, Lord. And so, That's the state of peace. That as believers, those who have trusted in God, trusted in Jesus, trusting in the blood of Jesus to cover all of our shortcomings and rebellion and rejection of God, are now in a state of peace. But then there is also the kind of the daily, ongoing living in peace. Much of Paul's writings is along this sort of line where he says, this is true of you through Jesus, this is true, therefore live like it. This is true, therefore, obviously, do this, don't do that, because of what is true. And it's very similar here. That we're in those of us who believe we are in a state of peace, therefore, we can live in peace in daily situations, daily walkings. If everything goes wrong, if by the end of this sentence you have lost everything that belongs to you, money, work, family, where you live, that's going to be hard. But according to this, there is a way, because you are in a state of peace, that you can walk through that in a place of peace and enjoy the peace of God, even in those desperate situations. I'm not here to say that's an easy thing to do. It's painful. But the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind. So we can live at peace with God in every situation. And I just want to just pause again here and just address, I'm obviously not unaware that there are people who can get into a kind of a mental state of being anxious about something and not be able to get out of that. And there is a diagnosed condition, a medical condition of anxiety. And I don't want to kind of just roughshod over that and say, I don't want for a second want you to think, if maybe you are here and you've been diagnosed with that, you have anxiety, that for one second I'm trying to say, if you are suffering with that, you are doing something wrong. It's part of what we're looking at, being in this kind of fallen world. Sometimes things go wrong. But what I do want to say is, if you are one of these people that have been diagnosed with anxiety or depression, don't accept it. Don't accept that as normal. Don't say, well, that's my lot, I'll deal with that. It might be that you need help, and what I really want to do is a bit later is pray with you and believe in God that he's going to set people free from anxiety this morning. But just because that exists, there are people who are diagnosed with anxiety, just because that is true does not mean that we have to hold that as the standard. We want to champion what God says in his word and say, God says, do not be anxious about anything. And so we have to believe we can. We can live not being anxious about anything. And so the next question then, the need is for our hearts and our minds to be guarded. What guards our hearts and our minds? The peace of God guards our hearts and our minds. So how? How does this happen? How can we enter into this? And it's surprisingly simple. Prayer. Prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, but instead of being anxious, by prayer and supplication. Supplication just means kind of pleading, almost begging for a specific situation. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I think there's two words to just pick up on in this verse which help us to understand what's going on. The first word is thanksgiving. That we come before God with thanksgiving. This means remembering everything we have heard this morning already. Remembering who God is, who Jesus is, what he has done for us. The blood of Jesus shed for us. Remembering that. Remembering who we are as believers, who we now are before God. Adopted. Children of God. So we come from a place of thanksgiving. That's the first word. And the second word is who we are making our requests known to. God. It's God. That's who we are bringing our request to. It's not some bloke. It's not the kind of the cosmos. It's not the stars or kind of some sort of weird energy. We're making our request known to God. The one who is trustworthy and faithful and loves us. The one who is powerful, who created everything. So Jesus starts, when he's teaching about how to pray, he teaches his disciples, how do we pray? And he starts off as this, you pray like this, Father in heaven. It's our Father who loves us, who cares for us, who wants the best for us, but he's the Father in heaven, who has unlimited resources, unlimited power. He's in heaven. This is who we come before. This is exactly what Emma was sharing, that psalm. I look to the mountains. Where do my hope come from? It's not the mountains, it's God's. He is where we hope. He is the one who does not slumber, who does not sleep. He is the one who can do it. And so the simplicity of these verses is we come before God, we pray, we plead with him for situations, and because of who he is and because of what he has done, we leave it with him. Ultimately, anxiety and worry and kind of struggling with a situation ultimately is a lack of trust in God. It's a lack of faith in God. We just want to do things ourselves. We try and accomplish things in our own being rather than trusting God to do it. And prayer is the antidote to that. See, anxiety is inward focused. It's about me and what I can do and what I am going to do about it. Whereas prayer is God focused. It's about him, who he is, and what he is going to do about it. Anxiety is built on lack of faith. Prayer is faith building. And what we're going to do, what I'd love to do, is to just respond to this in a second. Spend some time just responding to this. So if, I don't know if the band can just get ready to come up. And again, just want to pause for a second, because there may be some people here, and I know that there are, as Emma's already shared, who actually, right now, life is particularly hard, particularly tough. There are things happening that are just horrible to hold and to deal with. And it's a real struggle. And perhaps we're even tempted to say, well, this is all really idealistic, Liam, it's great, but you don't know what I'm going through. It's all well and good to say, don't be anxious, but I can't. The first thing I will do when I wake up in the morning is I'm kind of thinking about this thing and I'm struggling with it. And then by the end of the day, I'm still there and I'm still worried and still anxious about it. And the truth is, I don't know what you're going through, but God does. And he knows that and he knows you. And he still says, do not be anxious. We have to hold that we can. And there is a freedom that he wants to bring. And I'm believing God for that this morning, that he wants to set people free from anxiety, whether that's diagnosed anxiety or just kind of being anxious in a moment for a situation. And I believe God that he wants to set people free of that this morning. And so what we're going to do is, the band are going to play a song. The song is quite a simple song about Jesus, about who he is and what he's done. So I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus, focusing on him. And while they do that, this is what I'd like to happen. If you are someone who, right now in your life, there is something that is, you know, quite large, and you are struggling in life, you're just really finding life tough, then what I'm going to ask you to do is to come to the front when the band starts, when the song starts, to come forwards, because I want to pray with you. If you're struggling, life's just really hard, and you want to live in the good of this, you want to live in the peace of God, but it's hard, then I want you to come forward. A second group of people is people here who are just actually, they're just feeling anxious and anxiety or worry about a specific situation. There's something that is happening, whether it's a relationship with someone, an important date that's coming up, something's happening, there's a situation that you can put your finger on and go, I'm just worried about this, I'm spending time being worried about this situation. And you want to walk in the good of this and enjoy the peace of God. I want to ask you to come forward as well, to the front. The third group of people is I want to ask people that have been diagnosed with anxiety or depression to come forward. And I want to believe God that he wants to free people this morning. And the fourth group of people is I want people who perhaps you don't know the peace of God. You've never experienced the peace of God. And for the first time this morning, you're thinking, I know I need that. I know I need peace of God. I know that I am far from him. I know I am in rebellion of him. And for the first time, I want to say I trust in Jesus' blood to cover my rebellion and my rejection. And I want to give my life to follow in Jesus. For the first time, I'm going to ask you to come forward as well to the front. Don't worry about skin and roots. Just come forward. And with the rest of us, what we're going to do, if you're a community group leader, just can you just be prepared to come forward? Just be ready to come and pray with people. And the rest of us are just going to be spurred on by the words on the screen to enter into a place of thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for us. And we're going to pray to God, pray that our hearts and minds would be guarded by the peace of God. And can I also encourage you to be on the front foot and expecting to hear from God for people. And then just go and share it. Just go and share encouragement to one another, to people that are responding and coming forward. And if it's just the band singing, I'm sure they don't mind about that. So can we all stand up? Just in a second, the band's going to start playing. If you are struggling in life with a situation or a whole host of situations and life is hard and tough, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And like I said, we're not doing any of this because we're trying to fill time, but because God wants us to become more like Jesus. He wants us to respond. He's concerned for us. So let's respond to him. If you're struggling, come forward in a second. If you are feeling anxious and worried and concerned and you're in a cycle of this about a specific situation, come forwards. If you're diagnosed with anxiety or depression, come forwards. And if you want to give your life to following Jesus and experience the grace of God and the peace of God for the first time, can you come forward in a second as well? I'm going to hand over to the band.